All right, so today we get to do something a little controversial, and you know, I'm a little nervous. I don't like doing controversial things. I'm all about, you know, mainline stuff here, so. Woo! I eat and drink and sleep this stuff, you know, just wig people right out. But you know, once you get to know me, you realize I am dead set on being biblical. I don't fool around with scripture. But I like to deal with issues that are in the news and issues that are on people's minds. And I think evolution creation is an issue that is on a lot of people's minds. And I think it's just incredible that such a work of censorship has gone on and such a brainwashing thing has happened that most of us don't even realize it. But I want to talk about just a couple of things here this morning. There's no way I'm going to cover it all, but I just want to talk about, you know, did we really evolve from apes? I mean, that's a big one. And then evolution, is it fact or is it really a theory? Because you don't hear it presented as a theory. And then I want to just take a quick look at some of the fossil records just to see what do the fossil records say. So, and again, now I'm speaking to you as a pastor. I'm not speaking to you as a PhD in one of the sciences. Science is not my forte, but I do read, and I've read hundreds of articles and books and magazines on creationism, been to the Creation Museum. I mean, I've done a lot of research, and I know where I stand on this stuff, and so I hope what I present to you could be helpful. But also out in the foyer, if you're really interested, the big wigs, the guys with PhDs who've done research, scientific research, supporting creationism, there is wonderful material out there. And if you're really interested, this is what you do. You educate yourself, and you begin to realize, oh, you know what? There is good science backing creationism. It is not all just religion. And so there's magazines out there. There's all kinds of stuff, all free. Take it, read it. I highly recommend that you sign up and get that magazine. We've been getting it for 20 plus years, The Answers in Genesis magazine. Anything that's in the news that is quickly picked up by the news that's promoting evolution, you will see in the very next magazine the creationist view from a science standpoint, how it's viewed, and it is good. It is good stuff and beautiful pictures. You'll really be blessed. So pick some of that stuff up. I think it'll be encouragement. Also, it's good to give it to other people. We've given it to teachers over the years and signed them up for the monthly subscription, and really have had an impact. And so really, it's really great. The thing that kind of drives me here. So some people say, why are you doing this, Dave? You know, it's controversial, and you might offend somebody. And here's my take on it. I have been in many, many discussions with pastors, especially over the years, about creationism. And I often hear this comment like, Dave, what's the big deal? Who cares? Like just focus on the main stuff. You know, Jesus is the Son of God. You know, he's the way to salvation. Don't worry about the other stuff. It's peripheral, and let's agree on the main stuff. And in a sense, that sounds right. But I just want to give you four reasons why I am driven to talk about this. I only do it once a year, but I am driven. It's critical to me that you begin to look at this and come to some conclusions. The very first one is simply this. Jesus believed in the literal story of creation. Jesus did. A passage in Mark chapter 10, just one, where he makes mention. In Mark chapter 10, you have Jesus saying, what's the passage here? 10:6. Okay, yes. Yeah, so here's Jesus. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. So then they are no longer two but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Jesus, I'm quoting Jesus. Jesus said, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Jesus taught on the sacrament of marriage based on the creation story. And I can tell you clearly the reason we're having so much trouble in our culture today trying to understand marriage between a man and a woman, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a man, stems from the straying from the creation story. Jesus believed in this. And he taught on the marriage between man and woman because of creation. He's quoting the passage in Genesis where God created man and woman and made them one, brought them together. So here's the thing. If Jesus believed in it and it's not true, what does that make Jesus? So help me out here. Messed up. illiterate, dumb, deceived, a false teacher. There's a problem here. Well, you say, well, you know what, Dave? Jesus was living 2,000 years ago. Obviously, he didn't know about Darwin, who came along later, and he was just not aware that Darwin discovered the origins of man. Well, there is a problem with that, because the New Testament says in several places that Jesus himself was the one who created man and woman. Jesus was here at creation. So I think he ought to know what he's saying. Number one, Jesus believed in it. You know what? If I stop right there, if I know nothing else, I'm a follower of Jesus. Amen. Number two, this one's really critical. The entire foundation of your Christian faith hinges on a literal interpretation of the Genesis story of creation. If we have death, disease, destruction before Adam and Eve sinned, then Adam and Eve's sin did nothing. And therefore, Jesus' death and resurrection did nothing. We don't need Jesus. His death for sin is useless if we already had billions of years or millions of years of death, disease, and destruction. You cannot have that and have the Christian faith. The Christian faith teaches us God created everything. When he created it, he said it is good. It was perfect. And then Adam and Eve sinned, and they brought the curse of sin, which is death, disease, and destruction. Now we have the Christian faith because man could not work his way out of this. We could not pay a debt for our own sin because we're already cursed. Along comes Jesus, born of the virgin, dies on the cross, resurrects to prove he's Christ. Our entire Christian faith rests on the story of creation. Folks, it isn't optional. It is not optional. You need to be able to come to grips with this. And then there's just a couple of other things that jump out at me. Why I believe that I ought to believe in creationism. The other one is the divine inspiration of Scripture. If I negate the story of creationism and say it's not really true, well, now I'm messing with the whole concept, is the Bible really God's word? Some of it is, some of it isn't. I take what I like, I get rid of what I don't like. We got problems. I'm an all or nothing person. It's either God's word or it isn't. And I can tell you, I've based 40 plus years of my life on reading this word and trying to apply it to my life. It's God's word, there's no problem with it. But if you start picking and choosing, we got problems. And then a fourth reason is, and this one I think is one that many Christians deal with, they just have a hard time with the idea that poor old God could not do something so significant as creating everything in 6 days. It's like, he can't do that. I mean, how dumb is this? Like, the real question to ask is, why did it take him 6 days? Why didn't he do creation in 6 seconds? Poof. Right? Could, if he's God, can he have done that? Could he have done that? Yes, of course he could. So the question is, why did he take 6 days? Well, then you read the rest of Scripture and you find out, oh, he took 6 days and rested on the seventh to teach us there's a rhythm to life. There's a purpose to the creation story. And just because it's hard to believe and science may say it's impossible, well then, come on, the resurrection from the dead is impossible, a virgin birth is impossible, walking on water is impossible, miracles, they're all impossible. So you just have to deal with, is God big enough to do this? And if he is, buy in. So why am I teaching on this morning? Because here's my take. Creationism is not optional. If you are a follower of Christ and you believe the Bible, you have to deal with this. And I hope I can help you a little bit today, but I'm telling you, there's people much wiser than me. If you're really struggling with this, read the material. There's just tremendous scientific research supporting creationism. So, a lot of people have this issue that we want to just deal with today. Just a couple of them. One of them is most people believe that the fossil record clearly supports evolution because the fossil record teaches that we all evolved from a single cell, and then throughout the billions of years, there's all these transitionary stages, and so we've evolved from the single cell to man. But here's the question. What does the fossil record really show? We have no transitional fossils. We have complete appearances of fully developed life forms, and many of them in that one layer, the Cambrian layer. They just appear fully formed. Fully formed. So here's the question. Well, where are all the missing links? There's these huge gaps in the transitional stages, or what's so-called the transitional stages. So the evolutionists would say, well, you go from the fish to the amphibian, from the amphibian to the reptile, from the reptile to the bird, or the reptile to the mammal. And so these are transitional stages, so-called. So there should be transitional links. There should be missing links. Well, they're called missing links because they're all missing. They're all missing. There are none. Now, you know, deal with that. Like, what do you mean? They all just appear fully formed and very complex. Like he's talking about that little insect with this complex eye. I mean, these things just appear. So, you know, we're talking about science and we're looking at the fossil record. The fossil record says that these things appear fully formed. So there are no missing links. And this is just one of the struggles that evolutionists have to deal with. But this is a fact. This is science. This isn't like religion. We're looking at, what does the fossil record say? Help me out here. As a matter of fact, if I were to look at that and I was unbiased, I would say, wow, it just appears they all showed up at once. They were created. Oh, that's what the Bible says. Yeah, so finally someday science will catch up with the scriptures, because the scriptures are true. And I mean, there are so many other problems with evolution we can't even begin to deal with. The whole idea of something from nothing. I mean, where can you go with that? Or chaos produces complexity. That's contrary to science. Life forms coming from dead chemicals. I mean, we have serious problems with the evolutionary theory, but the problem is it's never taught as theory. It's always taught as fact. And I believe it's time that Christians at least question this, and I'm just so sad that our educational system has censored this. It's so sad. They just hide behind the fact that it's religion, but you show that's not religion, that's science. And it's a legitimate question to ask of the evolutionary theory. Well, why do we have these? Instead of why don't we have all these missing links? Where are they? There are literally millions of fossils that have been uncovered. Millions. Millions. Zero transitional. Zero. We're talking none. If anything, there should be millions of the transitional stages and less of the fully developed. We have no fossil record supporting the whole idea of transitional change. Now, just for clarification, we talk about evolution. There is such a thing as microevolution, and some people get all confused about this. You know, the idea of a bird's feathers changing, you know, or a moth's color changing. Within a species, of course there's change. You breed, people breed animals. That's within a species, that's microevolution. We totally understand that. What we're talking about when we talk about evolution, we're talking about from species to species. A dog giving birth to a cat. You know, a horse giving birth to a bird. I mean, you know, no transitions. We have no change in species. We have within a species breeding and change based on environment. But when we're talking about evolution, we're talking about species crossing over. No scientific basis for that. So a couple of quick questions we'll look at. So what does the Bible say about man and the origin of man, so that we know what God's word says? Well, it's pretty clear in Genesis. Read a couple of quick passages. And again, Jesus was here at this time. So chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Whoa, wait a minute. God said, let us. That would be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's Jesus right there. He's part of the creation. When he talks about it later, when he's on the earth, he's not guessing. He was here. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So clearly, the scriptures tell us we're created by God, made in the image of God, given dominion over all of creation. We are not like the animals. We are not like the plants. We are distinct. When people put us all together, they're teaching things that are not true. God made us unique. We were made to have dominion, to be in charge of creation. And then the whole idea about man and woman, you get into chapter 2, and let's see, chapter 2, 18. So the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden. No, I'm reading the wrong one here. Okay, so, and Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So God creates Adam. He creates the animals all on the sixth day. Adam does not have a helpmate. What that means is there's no existence of a pre-human race. There are no other races around. There's no other humans around. And so then God creates Eve. He creates her out of Adam's rib. And then Adam in chapter 3, he has the first wedding ceremony in verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So again, you just have to, either you believe this or you don't, but Adam understood this is the woman who's going to give birth to mankind. I call her Eve. And so mankind is different than all of creation. We're not like the plants. We are not like the animals. We are above them, and God has put us in charge. So the question comes up, though, what about this evolutionary chain where man supposedly evolved from the ape? And I think you've all seen, I'm sure all of you have seen the poster, you know, where man starts out as a little chimpanzee and evolves into this very complex human being. The problem is, it's not really, it's so far from science. Actually, it should be called sci-fi. This is sci-fi stuff. This is people way out there, and is not based on scientific research. Each one of these has such a history of lying and deceiving people. You just wonder how come this poster stays around. It has no historical, no scientific basis to it. For instance, the first one, I'm sure you've all heard of it, is the Lucy. You know, the people, when they, anthropologists and paleontologists, when they speak of Lucy, she's like the special one. She's a chimpanzee that was found and discovered and supposed to be the missing link, still held out today as the missing link. Here's some of the problems with that. First of all, they only found less than 40% of that skeleton, less than 40%. People who are paleontologists and anthropologists who don't know that they're looking at the Lucy skeleton just are told to look at that skeleton, who are professionals, educated, all of them say, oh, that's a chimpanzee. They all say it. There's no human resemblance whatsoever. The only reason it's put in this chain of evolution is because the artist's imagination added the feet and the hands of humans to this skeleton. They didn't find her hands and her feet, so they added human hands and human feet. And every time you see her in the museum, she's in this kind of very philosophical pose, you know, and with a human hand, human feet. And people look at that, well, there's a missing link for sure. No, it's a chimpanzee. Clearly a chimpanzee has no place in the evolutionary line. And then you just keep right on going. The next one's a Heidelberg man, and that one's been taken out now because that was first presented as, we found, all these names are basically locations where these things were found, and they use these words, and I'm convinced they use them to intimidate us, you know. But the Heidelberg man, total hoax, found out that it was fully human, wasn't an ape whatsoever, but it was first discovered, oh my gosh, they found the missing link, fully human, no transition whatsoever, fully human. Then you go to the Nebraska man. So now the Nebraska man is found, this is incredible. They find, this is, read this and you won't believe this. It's like, you cannot believe this is true. A man finds a tooth. And from that tooth builds the skeleton of the Nebraska man and calls this the missing link. Within a week, all the major newspapers are showing this picture of the Nebraska man with his wife and children and animals living in a cave, all built on the tooth. That's all they found, the tooth. And then a couple couple years later, they find out, oh, it wasn't the tooth of an ape, it was the tooth of a wild pig. Sorry, messed that one up. Then you got the Piltdown Man. This guy finds a jawbone, just a jawbone. He's an amateur paleontologist. He finds a jawbone, and he builds this huge thing about this is the missing link, claims that it's 500,000 years old. And then people get their hands on it, do a little research, find out, oops, guess it isn't really a human. Oh, and by the way, he ground down the teeth. It was an orangutan, and he ground down the teeth to make them look like human teeth. I mean, these things are hoaxes. They're fake. But they're held out. The poster still is around today. You still see this. You got the last one is the Peking Man. The Peking Man. And so this one is held out as clearly the missing link. Only when you read about it, in the fine print, you read stuff like, they found bits and pieces of this skeleton spread out over a 1 mile radius. This is science? Bits and pieces of bones and fragments that they put together and built the Peking Man. No, this is not science. This is sci-fi. This is artistic renditions. These are people building models that are not scientifically backed. They lack the evidence of science. This whole man from ape to man, the fact that there's similarities, now deal with this, the fact that there's similarities only means that we have a common designer. It doesn't prove that we're all evolved. It means we have a common designer. That's all. So the fact that there's some similarities, well, of course, but they have to deal with the differences, and there's some major, major differences here, and there's no scientific evidence produced at all through the fossil record or research showing we've evolved from man. And then the last thing people ask, well, what about the caveman? You know, the caveman, the Neanderthal. You've seen that Neanderthal hunched over, and he's a caveman, and he proves we lived in caves. And I mean, again, you just have to read up on some of this. The Neanderthal, again, is named after a valley in Germany. And they find some fossil pieces of this skeleton, and they call it the missing link. Only now all the research being done on it shows this was fully human. They had all sorts of human customs and traditions. They found they had burial rites. They buried the dead. They had ceremonies, the way they lined up the bodies. They found a flute in the diggings. They found a flute, so, you know, I don't think that's really a missing link there. They show that they practiced medical care for one another. They had all sorts of human behavior. They're fully human. The Neanderthal's fully human. The brain cavity and the Neanderthal is larger than modern man. And so you always hear these little things about, well, the dinosaurs had small brains, they must have been dumb. Well, what does that make the Neanderthal? Smarter. We've been dumbed down. We're devolving. If that's the case, if it's the size of your brain, I mean, you just think people say these things like, come on, man, do a little research here, you know. The Neanderthal had a larger brain than modern man, so that would make him smarter. So, but did he live in caves? Of course there were cavemen. You know, this is the thing that, but what we are told is the evolutionary process included a stage where the apes lived in caves. No, there's no historical record for that. Of course men lived in caves. You know what? People live in caves today. Are they cavemen? You know how many people live in caves today? Are you ready for this? Over 30 million people live in caves. How's that for a thought? We've still got 30 million Neanderthals out there. China has over 30 million people living in caves. You got Afghanistan, a lot of countries have people living in caves. They're not apes. You know, the research, yes, they lived in caves. Probably, first of all, it was a very small percentage of the human population that ever lived in caves. Even at 30 million, we're dealing with one half of 1%. I mean, so this is probably what it was like with cavemen. There was a percentage who lived in caves and not the whole population, and it was not the evolutionary process where we went from apes to partial man living in caves and then eventually houses. That's not what scriptures teach. If there was any sort of caveman period, it probably followed the worldwide flood, which gave which gave way to what we call the Ice Age, and probably that's where maybe some of that came out. But even if it didn't, there's still cavemen today. So just the fact that people lived in caves doesn't prove we evolved. So, folks, I can't cover it all, but I just want you to know, in conclusion, creationism is not optional. The Bible is either true or not true. But to comfort you, science, good, unbiased research, more than anything, supports creationism rather than evolution. What we're dealing with is a bias. What we're dealing with is censorship. We're dealing with discrimination. It's wrong. It's wrong. Creationism has great scientific backing to it. And here's the other thing about this. It's not just to prove creationism versus evolution. It's to understand you were created by God. I mean, the whole thought of evolving from apes, evolutionary teaching has given way to horrific atrocities, racism and the Holocaust and all of these horrible things, ethnic cleansing. These things have their roots in evolution. You know, the strongest survive, get rid of the weak. I mean, this is not what we believe as Christians. We were created by God. We are made in the image of God. Every human being has a purpose. God gave life. And our job is to live our lives to honor God and to bring Him glory and to accomplish the things He wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. And I thank You, God, that we do not have to fear men's research and men's reasoning. Your word can stand up to anything. And I thank You, God, that we were created. We didn't evolve from animals and from one cell amoebas. God, we were created intricate and complex. You gave each one of us breath and life. You've given each one of us a measure of days, God. I just pray this morning, God, You awaken us to that responsibility, that we have been given dominion to do something to advance Your kingdom on this earth, God, to be a part of what You want us to do, God. And I pray You awaken us to that reality. God, I just pray for everyone here. I pray especially some of you here, just, you know, the struggles you have with evolution. God, I pray today that You really begin to awaken them to the importance of creationism and resolving some conflicts, God. That Your word is true, every piece of it. Every piece of it. We thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. We'll take our offering. So let's just stay in the presence of the Lord. This is that part of the service where you just want to have that connection with God. I believe some of us here this morning, you know, need a touch from the Holy Spirit. I don't know, some of you may be carrying some burdens, things you're dealing with nobody else knows. I got this sense that some of you here are struggling with sleeping at night, and I mean, it's really something that's really starting to bother you, and I even got the sense you're either starting to take sleeping pills or have been, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to touch you. And you know, the Bible says God gives His beloved sleep. You don't have to be robbed of sleep. Maybe it's worry or stress causing it, but God wants to touch you this morning. Also, I got a sense that one person here at work making a really big decision, like, you know, a financial decision, investment, a risk, something for the company, and really needs the wisdom of God. And I just sense this morning that, you know, God wants to give you that wisdom. Or the confidence to make the decision that you can do this. So it may be challenging, but I just sense the Holy Spirit wants a blessing. So if I'm speaking to you, just hold your hand up. We want to pray for you. Just pray the Holy Spirit touch you. Hold your hands up. If you're standing next to someone who's got their hand up, just stand right next to them. Put your hand on their shoulder. You know, you're just carrying something. You just need God to help you. Struggling maybe with some sleep. Making a big decision at work. Hold your hand up. If you see somebody, just stand with them. Let's just pray. So we're just asking God to show His glory. This is one way He shows His glory. He touches you, you know, in that way that only you know that it's real. So Holy Spirit, right now, in the name of Jesus, for that hand up right there, hand right over here, all the way in the back, all the way over here. In the name name of Jesus, God, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, touch them in that way that only you can do it, Father. That answer to prayer, the wisdom they need, decision they have to make, God. God, show yourself in such a way that it surprises them, that they just realize you really are interested in our lives. I pray for the wisdom to make the decision. I pray for the healing, for sleep. God, that we hear a testimony, someone's sleep just coming back, that peace at night, being able to sleep. And the wisdom to make the right decision at work, God, that their company would be blessed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to close with a song here, and just as we close each Sunday, we just open up the front. If you want to come up front and just kind of do some business with God or just worship up front, we're just opening it up and close with a final song.
There is nothing before that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence alone. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Praise you, Lord, your presence alone. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the presence. Let us
praise you, Jesus. God, we just make that our prayer this morning.